Welcome to Two Noobs and a Burger. This is episode 16. In front of me is John, and to just a minute will be Isaac. Not a lot. Today we are going to be doing the top five concerts that we have been to, and this one is going to be another individual lists one, based on the fact that we've been to a few concerts together, but obviously you can't just throw those on a list as the top five concerts we've been to.
No, because out of the 29 concerts I included, I've gone to probably 16 with you. That's not a big enough percentage to make a combined list.
Yeah, that would be a fair assessment. And, like, I mean, a lot of them were really fun at the time, but I definitely wouldn't put it up there. Like, Makeshift 3 and stuff like that.
Hey,
like,
I included that, too.
Makeshift 3 and Squad 5-0 we went to together. And those were awesome concerts at the time. But, like, those probably wouldn't even make my top 20 now. And
I don't know. I'm pretty sure Isaac would include that Abstract Threat and Makeshift 3 concert as the number one on his list.
Yeah.
That's right, Mr. Lead Singer. How you doing?
No, see, I didn't actually get to go to that concert because that was like a 15 and over concert at the time, and I'm just a little bit younger than you guys.
At the Millennium Club?
You are really bad at opening bottles with a lamp.
Yeah. Yeah, that went poorly.
Anyways, so...
So we did determine pre-podcast that because of the amount of bands we hadn't bothered on including, like, yeah, Warped Tour or Ozfest.
I had to, like, really whittle this down because I was like, I can't just say Flogging Molly and Dropkick Murphys three times in a row.
Why not?
You actually could. I mean, realistically, I would not have a problem with that as long as you gave me five different Flogging Molly concerts.
I've only seen them twice in real concerts.
I could give you five different Squad 5-0 concerts.
You've seen Squad 5-0 five times?
Yes, I have.
I've seen certain bands five times, but I've only seen Squad one time.
The
one
Squad 5-0 five times.
The one I've seen the most is Social Distortion. I've only seen them four times.
I've seen Social Distortion... No, I think four times also. I've seen Flogging Molly three times, I know, and I've seen Dropkick Murphys twice.
Yeah, I've seen them twice as well.
Excluding Lamb of God, excluding Mastodon, because they were just hung out in Portland for like probably 3 months straight.
Yes.
I think Lamb of God is probably my second, and I think I've seen them five times. But yeah. Alrighty, so who wants to get this list going? Or should I start?
You should start because I wrote down all the concerts I've ever gone to, and I'm just kind of trying to whittle it down.
Is it Nick Taylor with a capital?
No capitals.
So once again, I think we should give like just a brief rundown in case someone didn't listen to our Guilty Pleasure songs of what we listened to. Because like the first one for me is kind of not my normal, but I listen to primarily metal, and this list is going to be primarily metal. But number one is a concert that I actually went to because my mom was a huge fan, and I saw that he was coming to Portland, and I bought tickets, and it was at the Portland Zoo. Have either of you ever seen a concert at the Portland Zoo?
No, but I
have not.
I think that would be
fantastic.
It's kind
of awesome. So they have this stage out there, and they have like this little grassy hill, and you can take like camping chairs, you bring your own wine or your own beer or whatever, and then they have a bunch of like food vendors there. So we went up there, and we saw Chris Isaak. And
that's awesome.
Actually kind of awesome.
Well,
like,
Chris Isaac's great.
Yeah, Chris Isaac is really good. Like, I actually really enjoy Chris Isaac's music, but I never thought, like, it was one of those deals that, like, I would really like a Chris Isaac concert.
Yeah.
But he is amazing live. His whole band, like, and that's the other thing. It's like, it's an outdoor concert, so you don't expect very good quality of sound. But it sounded like album-quality music, which was really impressive to me. And he was really interactive with the audience. He just put on a really incredible show. And, yeah, that's definitely why it's my number five. And Chris Isaak, I probably wouldn't even put him in, like, my, like, top, like, 50 bands. But that's how good that show was. I enjoyed it that much. Just, like, hanging out, chilling, spending time with my family and watching Chris Isaak. It was a great show, and I definitely recommend if there's a band that you even somewhat like coming to the Portland Zoo, go see it.
Dude, that sounds good. So are you ordering yours from like 5 to 1?
Yes, that's what I was doing.
I did not arrange any of mine in order of least.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. You can definitely do that.
Do we need to go? Could you do it in like the next like 2 to 5 minutes if Isaac went next? Or did Isaac do that?
No, I could probably do that.
I see. Here's the thing, like,
well, editing is awesome.
With my list right now, I'm trying to like decide how to split it up, because like, are we going for individual concerts, like where there's multiple bands that were like a fantastic show?
No, we
or individual bands live.
What I did is I went for the concerts that I genuinely enjoyed the most.
Yes,
and the ones that I look back at and I'm like, that was a awesome concert. I super enjoyed it, and I would totally go do it again.
Like, okay, well, because, like, see, like, three out of my top three favorite concerts or favorite bands I've seen live were at the same concert. And it was Shadows Fall, In Flames, and the Black Dahlia Murder, plus, like, two other bands that were kind of mediocre that were on MTV. But, like, or in, wow, and The Haunted... It?
The Haunted, yeah.
Yeah, like...
The almost used to be good band.
The Haunted was super entertaining, because I've never seen someone so high as their lead singer was that was still able to put on a show.
Okay, just for anybody that is not a metalhead here, the reason why I have a beef with The Haunted is because The Haunted is all of the members of At the Gates minus the lead singer. All those douchebags went and grabbed some douchebag from Cleveland... Even though Cleveland's an awesome town and the Browns are the greatest football team ever created, even though they suck, I love them. But
you sound like John Caparillo.
So the Haunted got a lead singer from Cleveland, and or at the Gates got a lead singer from Cleveland and formed the Haunted, and that's why they hate them. Anyways, but no. So Offfest, the thing you're talking about that happened at Bend, is one concert. So that counts as one entry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, that would be... I'm not sure where... Like, that's... I'm not going to start with that. The one I will start with then will be probably Weird Al, when I saw him at the Deschutes County Fairground.
That sounds awesome.
In Redmond. And that was a show that I wasn't... There was no mosh pit. You weren't allowed to stand up unless the people in the front rows were standing up. There was, like, such tight security. But it was such an amazingly entertaining show. Because Weird Al is, like... He's a multimedia presence. Like, there's videos. There's skits. There's props. There's joy and happiness. It's everything you need in a show.
Well, yeah.
Which, the Chris Isaac show was the same way. Like, I mean, it's Chris Isaac. There, it was a bunch of, like, middle-aged people, my mom, me, and my brother. There was no, like, mosh pit. There was no nothing like that. And that's what's so out of the ordinary for that concert for me.
See, when I made my list, it was hard because I had all these bands where it's like, oh, this was either A, an amazing band with a bunch of really terrible supporting acts... Like, you know, when I saw Hatebreed with Exodus and Napalm Death, or when I saw
Exodus live?
Yes.
Did you tell Micah?
Yes, I did.
It's funny. I've actually... Concert's actually
so you know
on
what?
My list.
Exodus, John. Exodus had this one album that they produced back in, like, the 80s. And, like, man, you should really give it a listen, John, because Exodus, like, there's some solid... Like, it might not sound like they're making real good music.
You need those more than I do.
Well, it's funny because,
okay,
like...
sorry, go ahead.
I could have included two different Hatebreed shows, but one included Type O Negative, and one included Exodus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you went and saw Hatebreed when Type O Negative played, and the lead singer was so spun out on heroin that he started crying in the middle of the show.
Oh!
Because one of my metalhead friends told me about that show, and he was super disappointed.
Cool question about Type O Negative. I've heard that they are crazy racist. Is that true or not?
Well, one of them's dead, so.
Probably. Very probably.
The one who's dead was so strung out that he couldn't even remember the lyrics to his songs. They had to have a little pulpit on the stage to where he could, like, read through his lyrics book while playing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So it's like seeing Brett Michaels or Poison Live. No,
dude, they put on a hell of a show.
Which actually, every rose has its thorn.
Perfect segue, because number five on my list is when I flew to Vegas to see Def Leppard, Poison, and Cheap Trick.
That's awesome.
That would also be on my list as well.
It was we went with some friends, and it was cool because right after the show, they got engaged, and it was a sweet moment and all that stuff. But the show was great because, Like Cheap Trick, they don't put on that good of a show because they're, you know, I'd never really liked Cheap Trick.
They're
much.
Cheap Trick. Like you either like them or you don't. Exactly. There's no middle ground on that.
But Poison, they put on a hell of a show. Like they were fantastic. And Bret Michaels, like he knew that Vegas is his audience because it's a bunch of drunk, like 45-year-old women with fake titties, and he knows how to play to that audience. So they were like exciting. They were interacting with the crowd like nothing else. And then Def Leppard, I mean, I've seen them twice, and both times they've put on solid shows. Like, for being old British dudes, A, I'm jealous of their, like, guitarist who walks around shirtless, and even you would go, I'd do them.
So, I hear their drummer only has one arm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's awesome.
Yeah, he's actually got a abnormally large amount of kick pedals on his drum set. And
yep.
I totally respect the fact that that dude can still play drums better than I can.
Now, you see him do solos live. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. He's incredibly talented. So, having said that, I want to murder whichever one of them wrote Pour Some Sugar on Me. And
thank you.
And bury them so far under the ground that no one will ever think of. Yes, it was because of Marcy and
Jessica. Yeah, all right. I was going to say, does Chris hate that song for the same reason I do, named Marcy Young?
Well, you were, when we were going on our senior trip, some guy was like singing that on the flight from Portland down to Los Angeles, and Mark was sitting right in front of him like it was fine, but then the guy sang it for like the fourth time in a row, like the entire song word for word for word. It's just like, come on. So I was listening to an interview with Def Leppard when they were on the NFL Network last week, because obviously that makes sense, because they released an album last Friday.
Still, why?
I don't know, because they don't care about football. So they said that they were so happy for strip clubs because that's the only reason that song got famous. Doug, we totally realize that's an anthem for shaking your booty, and that's fine with us because we're millionaires.
Yeah,
the strippers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so no, it is a great show. Like, all three bands were tight, even though Cheap Trick, I don't care. But then, like, after it, it's Vegas, so at 3 a.m, we went and ate a bunch of nachos.
Yeah, well, and you saw Cheap Trick. Like, I mean, there's a shit of Cheap Trick fans in the world that can't say that they've seen Cheap Trick.
And just the fact that, like, that whole weekend was an experience. Because leaving Friday a.m., back when Redmond used to have flights direct to Vegas, it was people getting hammered on the airplane at 9 a.m. And then on Monday morning on the flight back, it was all those people super hungover, barely awake.
Yeah, any type of transport that goes from Vegas back or Reno and back, or any casino and back for that matter.
Oh, yes.
You get to see that same transformation, and it's a glorious sight. It's like, it is like the caterpillar climbing out of the cocoon, except rather than a beautiful butterfly, you see a vomity, sick, middle-aged person that probably should have made better decisions with their life.
That is correct. So yeah, so I totally recommend seeing Poison live. Def Leppard, they're solid, but it's way more fun. You just go to some random, like, over-the-top city to do it.
Yeah.
All right, Chris.
Alrighty, so my number four is here for two reasons. So it was, I went up to Portland with some friends, and we saw In Flames was the headliner.
Awesome.
Devil Driver played before them.
Did he sell wine?
He did not.
Darn.
Zayo.
Awesome.
Played.
Wait, so Zayo played with Devil Driver.
Yes.
Okay,
Zayo played before with Devil Driver, and I have never heard that many boos at a metal concert before.
I mean, it makes sense.
And I think there was one more band, but I cannot remember. The reason why this show is so memorable to me is because this was like one of my first really big metal shows. Like I had been to like a few shows before then, but I went to this show, and I went specifically for Devil Driver. Like, I was so excited to see them, and I went and saw them, and I got to meet Des Fafara, which he's the lead singer of Devil Driver and Cold Chamber, which are two bands that, like, in high school and junior high, I was completely and utterly obsessed with. And they're both kind of meh now. But.
And he also owns a vineyard, to explain my wine comment. Or he works at a vineyard, one
I
of the two.
I genuinely didn't know that, actually.
It was some random interview in Revolver I read.
Huh.
I don't know if he actually owns it or if he just works at one when he's bored.
That's crazy. I actually really didn't know that. But, yeah, so I'm not a huge fan of either of them now. But So I went to this concert, and at the time, I really actually wasn't a big In Flames fan. I just, like, I didn't get what everybody saw about them. And then I saw them live, and In Flames puts on an amazing live show. Like, you can listen to their entire discography and not like a single song, and then see them live, and you will be incredibly amazed with how good they do live.
Well, I have no doubt.
It was just, and it was just a really fun show. It was the first time that I got a taste of like the Portland concert scene. Like, I mean, like I said, I met Des Fafara. He was like passing around a joint with a bunch of other people, which was like, I mean, I went to the Christian school until I was in my junior year in high school. Obviously, like that was like the craziest thing I'd ever seen at that point. But yeah, it was a really fun show, and I highly, highly recommend In Flames to anybody that has a chance to go see them. They put on an amazing live show.
I will 100% get behind that. And this is just once again, a preview to probably my number one choice. Because In Flames is one of those bands that you're like, are they just playing an album of themselves playing a song?
Oh, yeah.
Or are they just playing the song?
See,
because they sound phenomenal.
Yeah, and honest to God, I will say this right now, that I think In Flames sounds better live than they do on CD.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Yeah, I yeah. Like, actually, because, like, I love In Flames. They're one of my favorite bands, but, like, I have their Live at Hammersmith, like, the In Flames DVD, and that's probably my favorite In Flames album, because it's, like, basically them playing all their best songs live.
Yeah, they're an amazing band for sure, and they put on an incredible live show, and they totally play Rain and Blood a little bit live. Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Anyways.
All right. So my next choice is going to be the only like festival choice that I have, and that's going to be the time that I saw Avenged Sevenfold at Warped Tour.
See, I wasn't sure like about whole including that because they were awesome on that tour.
Yeah.
As long as he's picking one band, I think I'm okay with it. Like,
okay.
If he would have,
because like that.
Yeah, like, if you want to include like one band from like that you saw at Warped Tour, like that half an hour set was like one of the top five concerts you've ever seen, then I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah. And it was like at that point that was when I was like really first getting into anything kind of resembling metal. And like I had first heard of Avenged Sevenfold cuz like one of my buddies at Redmond High showed me like one of their EPs or something that had, or it was like a single that had a song off of their second album.
Oh, you're talking about when they were doing their
like,
Waking the Fallen.
Yeah,
tour.
Like it was before Waking the Fallen.
Like, I thought you were talking about the time when it was like the last four bands of the day at Warped Tour were
Atreyu.
No,
I'm talking about like when we saw Avenged Sevenfold at like 10:30 in the morning.
Okay, I didn't go to that
Warped
Tour.
And it was f***ing amazing. Like, they sounded great, they had a lot of energy, and they really sold how great their music sounded at that point.
Was that like 04?
So,
no, that would have been 03, because I
yeah,
went 04.
That was
yeah.
probably 03.
I
yeah.
think what you're talking about, John, was like, so Isaac went to that first Warped Tour.
Yes, and then he brought
and
us
he
the
saw
EP.
Them, and he brought us the EP. And then you and me went to the next Warped Tour, and that was the one where the Vandals and NOFX and a bunch of other ones played. And then the one you're talking about, it was like Story of the Year played right before Avenged Sevenfold, and then Atreyu played like right after Avenged Sevenfold.
And then
Sevenfold.
Thrice played, and then so did there's one more band
yeah.
who was like right after.
So you and me didn't get to see them on the one he's talking about.
Yeah.
You and me saw them after what was the one with the Backcountry and
that one's
that's
just self-titled. No, that's not. It's
City of Evil.
Thank you.
Yeah,
self-titled's the White Album.
So yeah, you and me saw them when City of Evil came out, and they still put on a really good show because they only played like one song from City of Evil, mm-hmm. and then they played a bunch of old stuff. But it was still a good show. But yeah, we didn't get to see them before their lead singer tore a vocal cord and acted like a vagina and stopped singing like a real metalhead.
So I forgot to write the list down earlier. Isaac, who played with Shadows Fall and the Haunted at Off Fest?
In Flames.
In Thank Flames.
You. And the Black Dahlia Murder.
Black Dahlia Murder. And then...
I've seen them.
That other band that you and I both kind of liked a couple of the songs that they did, but the only thing, the reason they were even mildly famous was because they were on that, like, Ozzy Osbourne Making the Band show on MTV.
Mm. Throwdown?
No, not Throwdown, but
I've
it was
seen
like,
them live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're dickheads.
That but does it, not it surprise
was,
me.
It was
at
like,
all.
It wasn't from first to last, but it was like some.
One of those random.
One of
bands.
Those real generic metal
yeah,
band.
Because, like I said, games. What you're talking about, the concert, the In Flames concert and all that, that was Ozfest. And
yeah.
What that was is a bunch of bands from Ozfest, because Ozfest never came to Oregon. It always played Washington, and then it would go down to San Francisco. So a bunch of bands from Ozfest would play a bunch of concerts all over Oregon to give the Oregon metalheads a show.
Yeah.
And then well, they
and,
would
and
meet
like,
up.
I remember that night was like the hardest choice for me, because my option was either go to Bend and see In Flames and Shadows Fall, who I both loved, or go to Salem and see Killswitch Engage and like Hatebreed.
Yeah, see,
and I was like,
I always,
that's
I
like
always
the,
side with Hatebreed.
That's like the hardest choice ever, because I love both sides mm-hmm. of that.
Oh, no, that's yeah. a great choice.
And see, I had the same choice on a different Ozfest between Hatebreed and Strapping Young Lad, which, like, I really, really wish I would have seen Strapping Young Lad, because I saw Hatebreed like 3 times after that. And I didn't get to see Strapping Young Lad, and they're not a band anymore because Devin Townsend's a crazy person.
Devin, that's what it is. I always just yeah. get him confused with the safety for the Steelers named Deshae Townsend. And that's a really weird Google image search, because one's a short white guy with a skullet and one's a big black guy.
He shaved the skullet off. He's just a bald dude who does really weird hippie music.
Sad. All
right, so I completely spaced what your last choice was, but I believe you
that was
made
Avenged
it.
Sevenfold.
Oh, Avenged Sevenfold. That's correct. Yeah.
Avenged Sevenfold at Oz,
Warped Tour.
Oz, at Warped Tour, which, like, that's kind of a terrible recommendation to give now. Because, like, if someone's going to listen to this and be like, which band should I see now? I do not recommend going to see Avenged Sevenfold
actually,
in 2015 or 16 whenever you listen to this.
I would genuinely bet that even though we don't like their music anymore, they would put on a hell of a live show.
Actually,
I bet it would be fun
as
hell.
I'll give you I'm that. Sure they probably do.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
To John.
I do like their latest album, even though it literally is like just a ripoff of Megadeth. But it doesn't have the Megadeth lead singer's voice.
Yeah.
So,
sidebar real quick. Sorry, I know where I was trying to move this on. I was listening to a metal station on Spotify the other day, and it brought up... It's called Exoskeleton, and it's just metal cover songs. Mm-hmm. And they brought up a cover of Walk by Pantera by Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah,
and I realized that Avenged Sevenfold really, really wanted to be Pantera at one point. Like,
once their drummer died, then they switched to wanting to be Megadeth.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so what is your next choice, John?
Here's the hard part, because I have probably 10 concerts I can include at number 4, but they all have really bad, like, parts to them. So, like, the last time I saw Social Distortion in Bend was awesome. But the entire time I was, like, trying to watch Social Distortion, Elizabeth was trying to have a full conversation with me. And
see,
so in the middle of the song, she'd be like, hey, 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 and try to yell something.
That's not fun at all. Like,
and that just screws
that
it up.
That ruins concerts.
So I think probably the next one I'm going to put, even though it was kind of weird because, like, for that we used to work with, I don't want to say his name.
I'm
the one from Arctic Circle.
I'm really trying to remember...
Halo.
I may have blocked him out completely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's the one he used to hang out with Nate and Nathan all the time and come over to your house a bunch.
Oh!
So...
Yeah, okay, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, like, the entire time... This is a concert in Bend, and the entire concert, like, he was standing in line behind us, and every time we'd, like, look around, he'd just be, like, glaring at us.
Oh, yeah, because of the whole thing with you and the other person, and that got really weird for a while.
Yes. So, the concert, after, you know, running him was super awkward, but the concert itself was awesome. And that concert was the Mad Caddies and Love Equals Death.
The Mad Caddies came to Bend?
Multiple times, actually. They were here like a year ago, but
I saw the Mad Caddies in Bend.
I've never seen the Mad Caddies.
You probably saw them a different time than me, because the time I went, it was crazy.
When did I see the Mad Caddies? Who did they play with?
Did they play Weird Beard?
Yes. Yes. Of course.
That's literally the only song
I saw them on Cinco de Mayo, actually, which helps because their trombone player is Mexican.
Oh, really?
And so during Weird Beard, they just stopped down so he could do a Mexican trombone solo to celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
That's badass.
Actually, or he's Latin of some variety. He didn't specifically say Mexican, but he said he was celebrating Cinco de Mayo.
Then he was probably Mexican, because, I don't think Spaniards celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
No, not at all.
Because celebrating Mexican Independence Day in Spain would be kind of awkward.
All right, so, do you remember a band called Tsunami Bomb?
Yes.
Okay, so, I do. After they broke up, the guitarist and the bassist went and formed a different band called Love Equals Death.
I think I've heard of them.
They're just like a random punk band. They only put out one album, which is sad because they're really good. But they... So we saw them. The first band was terrible. Then Love Equals Death came on, and they were just amazingly fantastic. Like, they put on a crazy good show, got the crowd moving. It was insane. And the Mad Caddies came out, and they put on one of the best shows I've ever seen. It was before Keep It Going came out. So it was in, like, that weird time after Just One More.
Mm-hmm.
So they played, like, all the classics from that and Rock the Planks. They played Contraband, you know... Oh, crap, what's that song called? Leaving, like, just all the songs that everyone loves. And they put on a really, really good show, super exciting. Like, they talked about how their lead singer, apparently, I don't know if he still does, but at the time he owned a house in Lapine, which is super random.
Yeah, him and Sam Elliott.
Yeah, you know, it's what people do. But it was really cool, and, like, not... The thing that makes it memorable is... Memorable? Wow, I can talk really well. Emerald, pow. So the thing that makes it memorable is the fact that, you know, they didn't just put on a great show, but after the concert, like, we stopped and we met the dudes from Love Equals Death. And during the concert, one of the bassist had gotten a burrito thrown at him by some guy that they kicked out because he started a fight. So on, like, the CD liner that from their CD I bought, I have an autograph that's his name, and then right below is a picture of a burrito and him writing a burrito.
That's amazing.
And then, like, after that, we stopped and talked to the drummer of the Mad Caddies, because he came up and talked to us, because apparently we were having fun and yelling for some reason. So, like, it was just weird having, like, the drummer for this band come up and talk to us after meeting this other band.
Yeah.
And, like, just the whole night was really cool.
Yeah, that's a huge thing with concerts. Like, if you get to interact with a band, that is... It's kind of one of the funnest things, because, like, generally if you're going to a concert, and this doesn't always apply, but, like, most of the time if you're going to a concert, you like one of the bands there.
Oh, yeah.
And you went there for a specific band. And if you get to meet those people and get to hang out with those people and just, like, talk to them, like... That will make that concert way more memorable. Even if the set wasn't, like, the greatest thing ever, even if they didn't play the songs that you wanted to hear, if you just get to, like, realize, like, this dude is totally awesome, and I would definitely hang out with this guy.
Oh, absolutely.
If him and me grew up in the same town, or him and me just, like, knew the same people. Like, we would be friends. And, like, that gives you kind of, like... It sounds really stalkerish when I say it out loud, but nonetheless, like, it does really give you this, like, sense of, like, this is way more cool now that I know this guy and I've talked to this guy, and next time I listen to the CD, I'm gonna think about the fact that it's like I had a conversation with this person, and he's a cool dude.
Well, it goes against that whole don't meet your heroes thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're actually, well, like, this instance is generally a nice person.
Yeah, very much.
So, Chris.
All right. Let me see real quick. I have all my things written down because I've seen way too many. Okay. So, this one is really, really hard for me because this band is awesome. I've seen them live a lot, and I don't know which one that I would pick. But I know that both of you have seen them with me multiple times, but Flogging Molly.
Oh, yes.
They are also my number three pick.
Mine too, actually, number three.
Triple high five.
Yeah!
So which one do you want to go with?
That's... f-ing hard to say because, like, I mean, part of me wants to go with the first time we saw them when we.
That's the one I chose.
Yeah, when
no,
we saw.
I'm going with unless the picture of Oliver Cromwell comes off the wall.
That's the one I'm talking about. Oh, okay. Like, that's,
yeah.
So we saw them at the Crystal Ballroom, which is a McMenamin's pub over in Portland, Oregon. And there is a big picture of Oliver Cromwell in the lobby of this place. And to anyone that doesn't know Flogging Molly or their backlog, they have a song called Tobacco Island. I believe, that's their
that's the song.
And it has a line in it, and it says, talks about Cromwell and his roundheads. And to anybody that is an uncivilized heathen and does not know anything about Oliver Cromwell.
Which you probably should.
Oliver Cromwell was an English person that tried to kill all of the Irish people, essentially, in the name of God. And
I mean, unless you're my dad, and he thinks that Oliver Cromwell helped advance the civilization of Ireland and really helped preserve the people.
Genocide and advancement, they're pretty much
Hear
the same thing.
Yeah.
No, let's not have this discussion here. But nonetheless, the lead singer of Flogging Molly got up on stage right before they played Tobacco Island, and he told the song that he was going to play, and he said, I will never, ever play this venue again if you don't take down that f***ing painting of Oliver Cromwell in your lobby. And to my knowledge, this was, what, at least 10 years ago?
It was 04.
So, yeah, 11 years ago.
It was actually like September 04.
They have never played a concert at the Crystal Ballroom again.
Yep, because when we saw them in 05, they played at the Roseland.
Yeah, they played at the Roseland. They played at the Roseland again one more time than I know of, and they played in Bend twice? At least once.
I've never seen them in Bend.
They played in Bend at least once. But, yeah, they have never went back there, and it was such a fun show. And I like, first of all, that was one of my favorite bands at that point, probably my favorite band. They play, like, before Speed of Darkness, Flogging Molly put out nothing but
amazing
music. I didn't like Speed of Darkness, and I haven't really listened to them since then, but Swagger and Drunken Lullabies and
Within a Mile of Home
all exceptional CDs, love them from beginning to finish. Every song of them is very enjoyable. Don't worry, it was my phone.
And also, well, actually, Isaac, do you want to continue talking, or do you want me to go since I'm talking about the exact same concert as Chris?
Go.
We can go to your Flogging Molly.
Yeah, go for it.
So the reason I remember that concert so vividly, beyond that part, is the fact that we piled in a van. It was you, Isaac, myself, two members of Larinus Flask with only three testicles between them,
yep.
And then my wife, and we drove down there in this hoopty minivan, saw the concert. The opening bands were the Street Dogs and the Briggs, who I had never heard of in my entire life.
Oh, the Briggs
and
awesome,
both of those
too.
Bands are two of my favorite bands now.
They're awesome.
I love all of those bands. And so saw these two bands I'd never heard, but, oh, I have two more CDs that I have to buy right now. Saw Flogging Molly, who was amazing. And then we had the entire car ride home, which was Isaac driving and falling asleep as Chris kept slapping him.
That sounds relatively accurate,
and
yes.
We got home at about 5 in the morning as my dad was leaving for work.
Yeah, that sounds
and
about right.
Just the entire experience itself was amazing. Like, how often can you go with all of your friends, have nothing bad happen, see some amazing bands you've never even heard of, see an amazing band that turns out to be even more amazing than you expected.
Yeah, the Briggs, man.
And
I forgot
just had a
how great
trip.
They were live.
They were awesome.
Because they were one of those bands that, like, I remember coming back from that show with the Briggs and, like, talking to John Laney and being like, no, seriously. Their guitarist was the closest thing I've ever seen to, like, Tom Morello, where he's doing things with his guitar I've never even seen done in person before.
And yet he does it during trashy punk songs.
And he did it while he was f***ing hammered and playing punk rock in Portland, Oregon.
And they played a cover of Get Off My Cloud by the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
The only thing that I will give to the next time, I don't think Isaac was at the next one when you and me saw
River
them.
City Rebels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, I did not get. Yeah, I didn't.
The
get
only thing I give to that concert over the other or over the one at the Crystal Ballroom is number one, that is the only concert where I've ever been rendered unconscious.
True.
And number two, the lead singer, or not the lead singer, sorry, the bassist of Flogging Molly stuck his tongue into Tristan's mouth.
That was hilarious.
Because he was wasted on Guinness, and Tristan just didn't want to talk for like an hour after that. And it was kind of amazing.
Because he went in for a hug, and the guy's like, hey!
And then just straight up, just like, tongue-kissed
him?
Yep.
Tongue-kissed Tristan, and it was awesome.
That and guy's also awesome. Played a really sweet Johnny Cash cover on that tour, too.
Yeah.
So, Isaac, no. You're Flogging Molly choice.
I mean, it's the same concert.
Yeah.
Because okay. It's... I wasn't sure, because you've seen them more times than I have.
I've seen them a lot of times, and, like, the hardest thing is, like, legitimately, depending on which album was out at the time, whether or not you liked it more than the one before, kind of determines how great it was.
Yeah.
But them as a band is always great.
Like, oh, no, they're tight. Yeah.
They're never disappointing. They always sound great. They always put on, like, an incredibly lively, fun, just awesome show. So, like, I can't ever tell anyone to not go see Flogging Molly.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing. And I think I've seen them, I think me and John have seen them three times, if we include Warped Tour.
I thought it was four with Warped Tour.
No, I've seen them five then, including Warped Tour.
Or maybe, is it Dropkick Murphys that we've seen four times with Warped Tour and Flogging Molly only three?
Dropkick Murphys I've seen five times, including the Warped Tour.
Yeah, I've only seen them four times, including Warped Tour. But yeah, we've seen Flogging Molly a bunch, though, to get back to your original point.
No, we've seen them four times, because they played the Roseland twice that we went and saw them.
I've seen them at Roseland at least
I've
once.
Seen them twice
I've seen
at
them
Roseland.
At
I don't
Ball
think
Ballroom.
I went to the second
okay.
one.
I've seen them in Bend once, and I've seen them in Portland another time, aside from the Warped Tour, and I don't remember if it was at Roseland or where it was.
So you and me must have went to the Roseland.
You
the
must
second
have,
Roseland.
Yeah,
and I must not
must
have gone
have,
to
yeah.
that one. Because the Rose, I've only seen him once at Roseland, and that was with the River City Rebels, and we were amazed because the River City Rebels weren't on cocaine that night.
Yeah,
because
they were sober, and the lead singer didn't get knocked out by some huge dude.
Which is weird, because that's not how it was on Warped Tour.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Or on apparently every other tour they've done in their career.
Alrighty, so that was everyone's number three.
So I think, Chris, we're back to you.
Damn it.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I just gotta pull up my list. Like I said, I've seen so many concerts that I had to make a list. Alrighty, so we're on to my number two. My number two is actually a concert that was mentioned earlier in the show, and it is, so the headliner was Hatebreed. The band that played before them was the Black Dahlia Murder,
yep.
And that's the reason why
they put on a good show.
So excited about this show. Exodus played, which was f***ing awful, and that wasn't even real Exodus. Like, so Micah, if you're listening, up because
well, that's right, they had a different singer.
Yeah, it was,
didn't die.
The original lead singer died.
That's right.
So it's not even Exodus anymore.
It was just the stoner guy with the fat Buddha tattooed on it.
Yeah, it was the Yoda Buddha.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because it was a Buddha with a Yoda head and
holding
it had
a joint
on. Yeah, on a lotus sleeve with the Rebel Alliance symbol on
that's
the lotus
right.
sleeve. And I wish I could remember like anything useful as well as I can remember like that.
I know there was that really crappy band that had the two singers.
No, I actually like them, but the second lead singer got kicked out. That was 3 Inches of Blood.
No, not them. 3 Inches of Blood was when they played with Typo Negative. That was the band where it was the dudes that were all wearing the camouflage.
Huh. I thought 3 Inches of Blood played the Gunzer, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, because I saw 3 Inches of Blood with Darren.
So, I love 3 Inches of Blood.
Me too.
Anyways, so the reason that concert was so great to me, like, Hatebreed was fun. But the reason I like that show so much is that I was a huge Black Dahlia Murder
despised
fan.
Despised icon.
Oh, I forgot
in
about
in First Blood.
Yeah, he did the backwards 1 foot jump with
yep.
the microphone. Yeah,
that's
that
the
was
one.
Awesome. That guy sucked ass.
Yeah, they had two singers: the one with the high pitched screaming, one with the low pitched, and one did the bunny hopple. He was screaming.
They were terrible.
And they all wore camouflage because they're a hardcore band.
No. But I went there because I wanted to see the Black Dahlia Murder more than anything. And, like, they were probably my favorite band at the time. And they're just, like, straight up, like, the classification for them is wonky depending upon who you ask. And I don't really give a but let's just call them death metal for the time being. So I was listening to them a lot at that point. Like, I knew every song that they'd released. And I was singing along and just, like, really, really getting into it. And the lead singer, Trevor, who is a slightly portly dude.
Who has heartburn tattooed on his belly. That has
heartburn in a thug lifestyle. Tattooed across the stomach.
It is.
He wears thick glasses with a sports band on the back so they don't fall off. Noticed that I was being incredibly obnoxious and, like, started leaning down and sharing the mic with me, which was just kind of, like, awesome for me. Because, like, I got to, like, sing half of that concert into the mic. And just, that was amazing. He also kicked a water bottle straight into John's nuts.
See, I was going to bring that story up, but I didn't want to sound like one of those guys who's like, hey, I have a cool concert story too, guys.
No, straight up, like, there was a water bottle that got tossed on the stage, and Trevor kicked it off the stage and just, like, flew directly into John's nuts, and John was just, like, holding his balls for it part of the concert.
So bad.
But, and it was one of those deals that, like, you know, you overblow stuff in your head. You're like, oh, yeah, it was amazing. But, like, after the concert, Trevor walked out, and he had three bottles of water, and he walks up, and everyone's reaching for him. He's like, you guys, and he handed three bottles of water to me, and he's like, you're f***ing awesome, man, and handed me three bottles of water. And, like,
it happened. I saw it.
That was just kind of f***ing awesome for me, because, like, I was so god obnoxious that the lead singer of a death metal band was like, you're f***ing awesome, dude.
Also, for anyone asking, the Hawthorne Theater, it's great because you can park in the Fred Meyer parking lot for free and just walk across the street.
Also, that's the concert where my wife throat punched a lesbian. And
that was hilarious.
Awesome.
Also, I've seen two concerts of that theater. One of them was not as good.
I saw Elvati there a couple of years ago, and we hung out in the 21 and over section. Way more relaxed.
I went there to see War of Ages, who was on tour with Soilwork and Throwdown. But that was the one that they skipped that concert to go to Cornerstone Fest, which is like a Christian concert series.
Soilwork did?
No, War of Ages.
Oh, I was
that's
like,
why I thought it was weird that they were playing with Soilwork. So War of Ages didn't go. So we saw Soilwork, who I'd never heard. And those dudes are amazing live.
Yeah.
They're so
Bjorn
cool.
Is a badass.
And he's such a sweetheart, too.
Yeah.
Which is weird to call a metal guy that, but, like, literally, he was the nicest person on the planet to everybody in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then Throwdown got on stage, and their lead singer, I swear, is either a Marine or just has really bad short man syndrome.
Dude, he plays...
he's a dick.
There is an entire genre of music named Throwdown, and it's a bunch of sawed-off motherfuckers that have little man syndrome that want to pick fights with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We left that concert because he was like, Soilwork was amazing. They made the concert worth going to, but not Throwdown. They're terrible.
Right. Back Isaac. To Isaac.
All right. My my top two were kind of hard to go with, but for number two, I'm going to choose Social Distortion. In Portland, I think.
Really?
The one with Lost City Angels and the Eyeliners? I wanted to choose that, but I had a bad experience after the concert.
See, I didn't.
I got lectured by Micah for riding to the concert with Tracy and not riding with him.
Also, you got lectured for a bleeding through CD that he bought you for your birthday.
Hey, that's violence.
The reason why I had a problem with that concert, and the reason why I didn't enjoy it, because, like, I really, really wanted to see Social D, they played a bunch of blues covers that I had never heard.
I will give you that. So I will choose the time they played in Bend, because
you didn't see him this last time.
No,
so the time before, 2012.
Time, yeah, the first time they played in Bend, it was basically like Social Distortion playing their greatest hits.
Mm-hmm. That was a great
one. Plus, they had Lindy Ortega open for him, and Lindy Ortega was great.
And they also for played like a Canadian songs off their country, new album, too.
Yeah, yeah, for like a Canadian country artist, Lindy Ortega is dope.
They like taking country artists out on the road, because when they played in Bend like 2 months ago, they had a punk band called Drag the River, and then another country artist who's from Tennessee that I cannot remember her name to save my life, but she's like that full on, like, you'd expect her to guest star in an episode of the Dukes of Hazzard because of how she dressed and like the type of country she played.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, like Social D in Bend was great, because like I still, like, to this day, I love, like, the song I'm No Elvis Presley by Lindy Ortega is great. If you hear that song and you think, yeah, this song sucks, you're a terrible person, because it's just a ton of fun. And it was a great opener for one of my all-time favorite bands. Like, I love Social Distortion live. Like,
oh, they're so good.
I genuinely think, like, very few frontmen can capture the audience and get them to obey them as well as Mike Ness does. Like, there's a few that are up there with him. But, like, he is pretty great about being like, I'm just going to stand in this one spot, and everyone is still going to pay attention to me.
Yeah.
No one's going to get bored. No one's going to start staring at the wall and trying to get into a fight because they're bored. Well, it's just going
to
be awesome.
He's also in that, like, upper 50s, to where he like, starting to reach that old man thing where they can just tell a story, and that story's as engaging and interesting as anything you've ever heard in your entire life, and you're just like, I got to listen to this dude talk about, you know, buying soda at the ice cream store or something.
Which that's what I love about their live CD, like them talking about like how they used to get kicked out of them by cops because they had pink hair and but no, like when we saw them at the Crystal Ballroom, they played a bunch of that isn't on any of their CDs, like a bunch of stuff that I didn't know at all, and I don't want to sound like an asshole, but it pissed me off. Like, I went there to see Social Distortion. I wanted to hear Social Distortion music, and they didn't play it.
That was like the Social Distortion concert where they basically played the Mike Ness albums. Like, where they played like the Mike Ness covers that he did.
But they didn't even, like, would have been fine if they would have played the Devil and Miss Jones. Like, anything off of.
They didn't do that. Like, they did like tracks like 9 through 12 on the two like Mike Ness albums. Like, once you've stopped paying attention, those are the songs they played.
Yeah, because I own two Mike Ness CDs, and I still didn't know the songs they were playing. Yeah. And I was, like I said, I was genuinely disappointed in that concert. And, like, I still love Social Distortion. Like, if you call yourself a punk rocker and you don't like Social D, you're a f***ing douche.
Amen. Preach it.
Yeah. Anyways.
It's one of those things where I saw them in Eugene, and they played a decent mix of, like, you know, like Six More Miles and Big Iron, and then they played some Social Distortion songs. But then the one in Bend Isaac's talking about, they played lots of Social Distortion songs because they had just released that new album too, and then they did a couple of like the more recognizable cover songs.
Yeah,
and it was just awesome.
They did do Ring of Fire. Yeah.
Yep. I wanted to do this last one where they played their self-titled album the entire way through with a couple other covers. But A, that one was the one where I told Chris, my sister was literally just like trying to poke me and have a full conversation with me the entire concert. And then also they got cut off because it's Bend and they had a
PM. I forgot you had to go see that with Liz. That is way worse than the Bend curfew.
Genuinely speaking, like, if either of you told me that it was worth it, I would totally listen to it. But I have not listened to Social D since, what was it called, like, Love, Sex, and Rock and Roll?
Well, that's their last album they released before this latest one.
Okay, yeah. I haven't listened to them since then because that concert had such a negative impact on me because their set list was
Yeah. Their latest album is more like, it's kind of a half and half mixture between Mike Ness and then Social Distortion. Because there are faster songs, like the song Machine Gun Blues is amazing, but then he does also have like some like a couple Waylon Jennings covers and stuff like that that are a lot slower.
Which I would be fine with, but it's just, you don't play that live. You don't play covers like Ring of Fire, obviously play that. It's part of the reason why Social D is as big as they are, and I totally understand that. But for f***ing sake, really? I don't even know what the f*** they were playing that night. Alrighty, so anyways. Now that I've said that, John, now that I've got it off my chest.
Okay, so, Chris, you actually made the perfect point when you were talking about Micah buying me a birthday present.
Mm-hmm.
Because number two on my list is the time I saw Bleeding Through with Bullet for My Valentine and the cancer bats.
You saw the cancer bats?
Hey, dude.
Wow.
It was so you know how Hatebreed, they have the Jägermeister tour?
Yeah.
Well, because these are bands that are more focused on like 13-year-old girls, this was the Sobe No Fear energy drink tour.
That's which awesome.
Is great because as you walked out of the concert, I went with Tracy's brother, Darren, and we literally just grabbed 4 Sobeys each and just stuck them in our pockets as we walked out.
That's
because,
badass.
Hey, it was free. But no, so this concert, it was the Cancer Bats, which are a Canadian hardcore band, I guess.
They're like street punk.
That's okay. Fine. Yeah, well,
yeah.
They're most known for their cover of the Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
We'll go punk core for this.
Yeah.
So I don't particularly care about them that much, but that Sabotage cover is pretty awesome. And they were hilarious live. Like they don't sound that great live, but they're really fun to watch and they're super exciting. Then Bleeding Through was just fantastic live. They were just crazy good. I don't know how they managed to get a bunch of 13-year-olds to form a circle pit, but they did somehow. And they were just, well, they played all the songs you wanted to hear off of This Is Love, This Is Murderous. And it was after their album Declaration, which is
did they have one of their hardest show up for the show?
No, they did play that sound clip though. That's actually what started the set list was that clip.
Awesome.
But they played songs off of Declaration, which was a lot harder than a couple of their other albums and a lot faster. And it was just crazy watching those guys play songs like that. Like, metal musicians are insanely impressive the way they can play those guitar riffs without even looking.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just crazy.
And Bleeding Through on This Is Love, This Is Murderous, like, they really, like, they nailed the instrumentals. Did you watch the, there was the Ozfest show where there was a bunch of bands competing?
I don't think so, no.
So it was a bunch of bands competing, and what happened is they got a concert deal, and they got to play on Ozfest the next year if they won. And one of the girl that was a bassist went over to Bleeding Through, and all the other people like picked up the song just like nothing. And like this chick had to sit down with the bassist from Bleeding Through for like 5 hours to figure out the song. Yeah. Because like she just could not get it down.
Well, it's funny because he combines rockabilly bass lines with death metal bass lines.
Yeah.
Because of his background.
Yeah, and like this
it just
is,
makes it entertaining.
This Is Love, This Is Murderous is a solid metal CD. And that's coming from like a pretty hardcore metalhead. Like,
yeah.
I still enjoy that CD.
I like Declaration more because of some of the songs.
I don't know that I've listened to that one all that much.
It came out in like 2008, I think. But, so anyway, so they were really awesome. And then Bullet for My Valentine, they were just, they sounded good, but they were one of those metal bands that they don't move from their designated spots.
Really?
Like, when they play, there's an X on the stage, and they stand there. They'll headbang. They'll move their guitar a little bit. Sometimes their bassist will move around.
See, because I really pictured them as, like, one of those bands. Like, what was their name? Was it Story of the Year that used to do, like,
the backflips and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not like that.
See, that's kind of what I pictured Bullet for My Valentine is.
Well, they're heavily inspired by Metallica, so they do that same sort of stage presence. But they were really good live. They sounded great, and they were genuinely, they weren't a-holes to the crowd.
That's good.
Like, I do wish they'd moved around more. But the most entertaining part of the night was Darren and I saw it. We were both 19, 20, something like that.
Oh.
And so there was we were the exact center of the age group because the majority of the crowd was like 13 to 15-year-old girls. Then there was Darren and myself. And then the very back of the room was about 33 parents that were all like holding their ears, just waiting for the concert to get over so they could take their kids home.
That's badass.
And it was just really funny to watch. But all three bands put on a great show, and I got a lot of free Sobe.
That's awesome.
So, number one, Chris.
Alrighty, so I think that we should, since obviously all of us have more than just 5 concerts, I think we should do honorable mentions.
Ooh, I like that idea.
If everybody's on board with that.
Absolutely. I was trying to think of a way to work my way into that.
So
see, here's the thing. My honorable mentions are still going to be part of my number one pick.
So you don't need to do them at all. Like, no. You just talk about your number one pick. But there's got to be at least a few. So
not even awareness. You saw a band Dropkick Murphys
has two words in it and started with A and O. And Jelly Bee Offer opened for them, and yeah. You loved that show.
Yeah. So like that's
actually there's a couple.
Why did you have to bring that up?
Because I'm awesome.
So what about the time that I'm jealous of you because you've seen in the same exact concert you saw Good Charlotte, Mest, and MXPX.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy.
And Newfound Glory.
Yep. Isaac went to the Honda Civic tour, and I was jealous.
So there was a Honda Civic tour.
For like 2 years. Two.
So my number not my number one. One recommendation, one honorable mention that I would like to make is Soulfly. I went and saw them in Bend. They had a really opener. They had an even second opener who turned out to be Max Cavalera's son. But Soulfly got on stage and they were amazing. They played pretty much every song that you'd want to hear. When they played Blood for Blood, Max Cavalera's son, who opened for the band, came out and did the part of the douchebag that I refuse to even say his name on this podcast.
But the guy who started...
No, it was the lead singer of Limp Bizkit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was a good song, except for that part. Anyways, so he came out and did Blood for Blood with them.
The guy who does Twitch streaming. Sorry, story for later.
Okay. You're kidding me.
Okay.
No.
So anyways.
Wow.
The coolest part about Soulfly is... So, for anyone that doesn't know, Max Cavalera is the original lead singer of Sepultura.
That's the other band.
Which is one of my favorite metal bands of all time. They come from Brazil, but the albums that Max Cavalera did, he left well before I started listening to metal. But they did go ahead and play Roots Bloody Roots, which is an amazing song, and Chaos AD, which is my absolute favorite Sepultura song of all time. Which, I mean, it's not the same.
If you don't like Roots, Bloody Roots, you're kind of a bad person, I think.
Yeah, it's you're true. Definitely not a metalhead. But those songs, like, it wasn't the same as seeing the original Sepultura, but it was totally amazing to go and see them. So other honorable mentions. Tool, I finally got to see them. I had seats. They are kind of amazing live. I didn't get to experience the whole thing because I was kind of side stage. And the way Tool does their performances, they like turn the whole stage into a screen.
Oh, gotcha.
So I didn't get to experience the whole thing of it. There's a lot of bands I could throw out there. JP was fun. Judas Priest.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other bands, but I'll go ahead and jump to my number one. So, my number one band, and I know that neither of you are really a fan of these guys, I highly, highly encourage you to see them.
Hold on, let me guess before you say it. Rammstein.
Yeah, Rammstein.
Woo!
I was going to say Chimera. I was way off.
But,
no, Chimera doesn't have the amount of god fire
Chimera
that Rammstein has.
Is we used to be like my favorite band, and like they used to put on a fun show. They finally broke up because they were down to one original member, and they were like, let's throw in because nobody likes us anymore, and good on you for finally doing it. You should have done it like 5 years ago, you douchebag.
That DVD was still pretty good.
Yeah, it was, but that was when they had like most of their original members, minus they had one switch over, which he was way more talented than Chris.
I'm sorry I brought it up because it's your mind. No, keep going. I was gonna tell a story about the time we played Metroid, ate waffles, and watched the Chimera DVD for like 7 hours.
Yeah, that was awesome. But Rammstein, I thoroughly enjoy Rammstein's music. But even if you don't, I still highly, highly encourage you to go see them live. We drove 6 hours one way to go see them in Tacoma, and they put on the most theatrical, amazing live show you will ever see in your life. Literally, everything on the stage catches on fire at one point. The scene from XXX where they have the napalm masks, that is real but understated. Like the real masks that they use breathe like 60-foot streams of flame out over the audience. We were up in like the middle section of the Tacoma Dome, and like it was like burning hot up there. I can't imagine how like disgustingly warm the people on the floor were. But it was an amazing show. It was so much fun. I cannot recommend it enough. Like I said, even if you don't like Rammstein, if they are somewhere that is accessible to you, go see them live. It is fucking worth the money.
I've never seen them, so I'll just bow to your expertise.
Well, legitimately, at one point, they play a song called Angel, which means angel.
Okay.
And Till, the lead singer, so their whole stage it's not a pre-built stage that they just put up for concerts. It is a stage that they designed, and it has a bunch of different things on it. The stage splits open, and Till, the lead singer, comes out, and he's wearing these angel wings, and they spread out, and these things are probably like 26 feet wide. And they light on fire and start flapping and shooting pyrotechnics in the middle of the show. Like, even if you don't like their music, it's worth seeing just for the stage show.
For the crazy theatrics?
Amazing. It is, it's, like I said, it is definitely worth seeing just for the, like, theatrical side of it.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's my number one. Okay. All right.
Isaac.
So honorable mentions first, then number one.
Guys. You really with my choices here now. Like, after bringing up all the different stuff I've seen,
I have one that I could say is an honorable mention if it's not your number one.
Okay, go for it.
Green Day and the Living End.
Yeah, yeah.
The Living End.
The Living End was fantastic.
Green Day after
like American Green. Idiot.
Well, it was
Green
back
Day
when.
Themselves. It was actually when Green Day was still high. So
wasn't
it
was like
great?
Wasn't it after Nimrod?
It was whatever year Nimrod and Warning
is when the first iMac came out, because you used the first CD burner I'd ever seen in my life to burn two Living End songs onto a CD.
Yeah, yeah. So the Living End was fantastic. Their guitarist played a guitar solo with a beer bottle as a guitar slide.
Dude is amazing live.
Good for him. It was a great show. But I can't go on enough about how much I loved seeing Shadows Fall and In Flames live.
So do you want me to change that to number one? You can do a new number five.
No, that was my number one. Yeah.
What did you have for number five then?
Because that was the first one you brought up. Was
I know that was why I said it's not supposed to be my number five. My well, number five it. Was supposed to be like what did I say after that?
I genuinely don't remember.
Avenged Sevenfold?
Yes.
No, okay. I thought that was number four.
It
that's
was.
Number five.
Well, that's the confusing part. Is Isaac's number one was number five?
Yes.
So, we'll switch that. All
right,
so.
Right.
So do you want Flogging Molly to still be number three?
Yes.
Okay, so you need a new number four. Did
John
I break your brain?
Rubin.
Yeah, that's right. You did
Five Iron Frenzy.
Okay.
I will say Five Iron Frenzy because they were, like, legit for being a Christian band, one of the best shows I've ever seen live.
No, so
Five Iron Frenzy is great.
As far as Five Iron Frenzy goes, like, Tristan and Nate are both not religious whatsoever anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They went and saw Five Iron, like,
last year,
a year or so ago, mm-hmm. and they still loved it. Like, they paid for the VIP experience. They got to meet Reese Roper and all that, and like, they still loved the show.
Oh, I've no doubt. No, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Just like how I'd totally go see Living Sacrifice if they came to Portland.
I will. I will say Five Iron because, like, they're uncool in multiple ways. They're ska. They're Christian. They're like second or third wave ska, and they're all white. So, like, they're pretty shitty.
I heard a history lesson about the different waves of ska, and I'm trying to remember which wave they are. Because the first was in, like, the 60s, and there was one in, like, the 80s, then there was 94.
There was ska in the 60s?
It was in Jamaica.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because like I know like second. So wave I think their third was supposed wave to be like
70s and 80s. Like yeah, that era.
Yeah, I think it was third wave.
Yes, yeah, so you're right there.
Yeah, third wave ska was supposed to be like Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, Super Tones, all that sort of
the,
stuff.
The things you learn on video game podcasts,
and also MC Lars songs.
Well, I think that's fourth wave.
No, third wave.
Was his that
this
song was
gigantic
like 2000,
robot?
Yeah, wasn't
kills,
like 2009.
Third wave ska was what he said.
All right.
What about Op Ivy?
That's like second wave.
That's not ska. That's
that's bonk. Tim
that
Armstrong.
Is that is
being
a bad
high as tits.
Yes,
is what that is.
F-ing punk rock. That's what I fall back on.
Operation Ivy is so bad that the bassist of Rancid sounds terrible. Because he was the bassist for Operation Ivy.
Really? Because they're bad. Like, there's no talent whatsoever.
Yeah.
I did not know that the bassist for Rancid was. Jesus.
I did not know that either, because that dude, like...
That dude is amazing.
He's
like,
one of my all-time favorite bassists. Like, punk rock has two of my favorite bassists, and that's, like, Bouncing Souls and Rancid are, like, yeah, my two... And probably my top two favorite bassists.
Yeah, and me and Isaac both played bass in high school, and mm-hmm, we, like, respect the f*** out of the bassist from Rancid.
Yep, he started Operation Ivy with Tim Armstrong.
Op Ivy sucks ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that dude has an awesome singing voice, though.
Alrighty. So
he also toured with Social Distortion as their bassist for like 3 years too.
That
all right.
That totally sounds reasonable to me. He's
so I think it's John's turn.
It is.
John's turn for his number one.
If you guys couldn't tell by the last music podcast we did, I do like terrible music. So one of my
I still have Dee Anford on my list, so you're totally good, man.
Just wait. One of the honorable mention podcast concerts I want to bring up, not because the concert wasn't that great, but because I met almost every single person who played at that concert, and that was Avril Lavigne with supporting acts of Simple Plan and Gob.
That's awesome.
And so Avril Lavigne, yeah, whatever, she hid in the back of the arena, so no one met her. But I met Gob and Simple Plan, and they were all super nice people. And I still find it funny because the lead singer of Gob is a vegetarian, and he was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Give peas a chance." Which is just the most random thing ever. And so this concert, it's an honorable mention because, once again, it was a bunch of little girls and little boys with their parents in the crowd. And Gob, it can be one of the most vulgar bands of all time when they play live.
I still love the song "Give Up the Grudge."
And that's the song they started
with. Was that the first music video I saw from them where they're playing soccer with a bunch of zombos?
No, that's "I Hear You Calling."
Okay. Zombos. Zombies.
Yeah, whatever. They're Canadian.
Yeah.
So "Give Up the Grudge" is a song that's just about how rich people should all die and go to hell. And it's just them screaming the F word a whole lot. And so, needless to say, all the parents in the crowd were not very happy. But the lead singer of Gob is insanely... both guitarists are insanely talented.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends the show by playing a solo, dropping his guitar on the ground, and then surfing the guitar all the way across the stage while pyrotechnics go off. And it is super cool.
It's kind of badass.
So,
good for that.
It's also kind of instrument abuse. Also,
well, it's a squire.
Yeah.
Also, guys.
Oh, this is still John.
I gotta pee.
Honorable mentions.
Okay.
So, honorable mentions, John. I gotta pee.
I met the guitarist of Bowling for Soup.
I remember that.
Micah would be very impressed with
so here's
isn't
the thing.
Isn't that the guy that's like 1,000 pounds?
That is. So Bowling for Soup, I saw them with Army of Freshmen, Lucky Boys, Confusion, and Punchline, which it was a cool show, but I went with some terrible people.
You went with Tristan
it was cool going with him, but everyone else we went
Julie?
With was terrible. Yep. And Dez.
And Dez. God, I hate her. So much. If you're listening to this, I hope you die.
See, that's one of the ones I couldn't include because the show itself was awesome, but because apart from Tristan, everyone I went with was horrible.
Oh yeah, that was over at the Wow Hall, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, the Wow Hall is awesome.
It is.
So, side note, sorry
yeah, go
to
for
interrupt
it.
You. So I went and saw a concert there. It was Devil Driver, Dark Tranquility. Nevermore and then Opeth headlined.
Wow.
So I had a friend, and we'll just call him Friend A for the time being, in case he is listening to this, was a douche and constantly insisted that he had exact center stage. So the Wow Hall is kind of an awkward place, yes, where there's no backstage. So they had to set up the PAs in between the divider and the crowd. So douchebag A decides he has to have center stage. So he's like, no, f- you, I'm standing right here. And I was like, okay, whatever. So Dark Tranquility gets on stage, and the lead singer is wearing these like tight, tight leather pants. And the PAs are in the middle in between the divider and the stage. So the lead singer puts his leg up on it, Captain Morgan stance.
Yeah, of course.
And his balls are just hanging right in front of douchebag's face the entire time. And it was the greatest experience of my life, because it was just, he was so pissed off about it because he didn't get to enjoy the concert because he's just staring at like
testicles,
leather wrapped balls the entire time, and was trying to get everyone to switch with him. And we're like, no, go f*** yourself.
You got to stay center stage, man.
Exactly. And it was fantastic. Amazing.
All right. So the only other honorable mention I have, I mean, yeah, there's lots of concerts I've been to that I like, but the last honorable mention is the first time we saw the Dropkick Murphys live.
Over in Bend?
Yes. When they played with Good Riddance, The Casualties, and Roger Murray and The Disasters.
Roger Murray was fun. I don't remember Good Riddance, and I hated The Casualties, well, the Casualties before I terrible. Saw them.
But Good Riddance, that was just like, you know, early 90s punk rock.
Yeah.
So, no, Roger Murray was fantastic.
I loved him. He was a vulgar mother.
Yes, he
is. He was fun.
I've heard interviews with him. Like, he was on Jamie Josta's podcast a while ago. And it's just like him telling stories about really illegal stuff he's done in like Brazil. And it's really, really funny.
That's
and
awesome.
He also physically assaulted some guy at a record store in New York, just beat him with an inch of his life, and then just like paid for a CD and left.
That doesn't surprise me. That dude was like,
he's
like
kind of insane.
You remember Roger Murray, right, Isaac?
Oh yeah. And The Disasters.
Yes.
Yeah. Great show.
So I was saying my last honorable mention was that concert in Bend. And the only reason it didn't make it in the top five is because Chris is probably remembering the people we saw that with.
I remember you two, and I remember Isaac's.
I'll give you a hint.
Did we see that with Marcy?
No, we saw that with Shayna.
Did we see it with Shayna? Yeah.
I'm going to say one of the people we saw it with is probably the guy you were just referencing in your story.
Douchey.
Probably just the same guy I'm thinking of. So yeah, so that's what made that concert not the greatest ever.
Yeah, and that's totally understandable. That still was a fun concert. What made that concert not enjoyable for me is during The Casualties, I got in the mosh pit and I got thrown on the ground and started getting stomped on. And douchey's cousin actually pulled me up and rescued me from a bunch of douchebag Casualties fans.
Oh, okay. So,
but that was a fun, fun show.
All right, so my number one, it was actually, there were four bands on the bill of the number one concert I saw, but I had to drive to Portland after work, so I missed the first band, which was Left Alone, which they're just like kind of, they wanted to be Rancid. They only lasted a couple of years. They were decent. But the concert that I saw was the Bouncing Souls with the Street Dogs and Whole Wheat Bread.
Oh, I love the Bouncing Souls in the street. Or street
and I
dogs.
Love Whole Wheat Bread.
I've never actually heard
it's,
Whole Wheat Bread.
Three black guys doing punk bands.
You've heard Old Man Samson, right?
Maybe.
So
I'll show it to you when we head back.
Okay. Yeah. So there are three black guys from Florida doing punk rock, and they're actually legitimately talented. I think one of their members is in prison for murder right now, but I don't know if
that's so. Metal.
They did an album with Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
Called like Crunk Punk or something like that.
Crunk Rock.
That's what it was. So they're just a legitimately talented band that play good punk music, but since this was an uptight punk show, all the like old school guys were like, black people can't play punk music? What the hell? And kept getting like mad, and so the guys would just like play these crazy like songs that they wanted to be like, oh wait, you're black. Oh wait, you're black. And so
I always forget that punk was like ridiculously racist for a very long time.
And so by the end of the concert, they overcame it. And like most of the racist dudes in the crowd were like, oh, okay, you're actually pretty talented. They kept saying, come on, guys, let's get a chant going. I love black people. It's okay. If we say it, it's okay. You won't get in trouble. And so they made like the entire crowd yell, I love black people, before they played a cover of Roots Radicals.
That's awesome.
And then the Street Dogs obviously were just as good as always.
Yeah.
And the Bouncing Souls were amazingly good. Like, they were better than I ever thought.
I saw them at Warped Tour 1 year.
Yeah.
And they were going to play a half an hour set, but they're amazing.
Yeah. And this one they played, and they were doing their gold record, which has one song that's slower with a horn.
The pizza song?
Yep. And they have just random fans from the crowd just come up on stage and play the horn section.
That's badass.
So, and it's supposed to be trumpet, but they found some dude in Portland who played it on the trombone, and it was so cool.
That's amazing.
And like they put on a super long show, and it was really good.
Also, speaking of like racist people like not enjoying things, do you remember about that Black Dahlia Murder and Hatebreed concert where the lead singer of Exodus was like, I want all the old school metalheads to come here and beat the all these in the front row. And one dude came up and I'm pretty sure I broke his nose.
that dude from Exodus is so stupid.
That guy was a douchebag. Anyways, that sounds like an awesome concert.
It was really good. So those are our concerts.
Yeah.
Anybody have a suggestion for a hamburger?
Balls.
Bob's Burgers hamburgers. Guys, I just want to bring this up because apparently I've been told this week at work, a lot of people don't know what Bob's Burgers is.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
I don't get it either. Like, I don't get it either. Like, they're all like people with like 4 to 8 year degrees in f-ing medicine. Don't know what one of the greatest cartoons ever is. So, guys.
The teen episodes are annoying.
Watch Bob's Burgers and enjoy butts.
Is that you? Wait, I was getting confused. Is that Eugene Merman or is that?
Butts is Tina. Tina is all about the butts.
Yeah. I'm trying to.
Yeah. Butts and zombies.
My
butts
issue and zombies. See, I have the issue where I got called racist for doing this one day, but I always get Eugene Merman. Close. No, I always get Eugene Merman confused with someone else.
I'm so proud of myself for never dropping an N-bomb on this podcast. Okay,
even
sorry, when
you were quoting Blazing Saddles. You
said, I know!
Which right, is impressive.
Anyway, so Eugene Merman.
Well, now if you lost me, I can't even think of like the Spanish Al Madrigal. I always get him and Eugene Merman confused.
I love Al Madrigal.
Because they're both
like, he's
funny.
He's amazing.
Like, obviously they look nothing alike, but yeah, their jokes, I always get the different bits confused about which one is which. And so I got called racist
for
that.
Yeah, like their stand-up specials, like, they're different. Because, like, Al Madrigal does...
Honestly, he has that bit about the like, Home Depot and speaking Spanish.
Yeah, but, like, his stand-up is kind of like his sections, like, his segments on The Daily Show. And Eugene Merman is, like, full-on, like, he just thought this up. Mm-hmm. And whatever weird thought popped into his head, he wrote a joke about.
All right, so I got a burger.
Awesome.
All right, so take whatever kind of meat you want. Elk, venison, beef, turkey. And cook that medium or rare because you're not a heathen. And what you're going to do in the last few, like the last minute or so of cooking, you're going to take some blue cheese and you're going to sprinkle it over that bitch. And then you're going to throw a piece of Swiss on top of that because who doesn't like cheese other than communists? If you're telling me this is too much cheese right now, move to Russia.
I think Isaac's made me that burger before.
Anyways, so you throw it on a brioche bun. And if you don't know what brioche is, go yourself.
Yeah, it's great.
And then you throw a little bit of tomato and some onion and some pickle on top of that, and it's amazing.
And guys, always take the time to caramelize your onions. Oh, yeah. Even if it's only slightly. Like, just throw them on the grill for, like, you know, 30 seconds. That's all you need. It's fine. It's fine.
And I'm going to go ahead and throw this out here. If you want to put barbecue sauce in this burger, I think barbecue sauce and blue cheese go together magnificently.
Yeah,
they do.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Don't be a heathen. Cook your burger medium rare.
We'll call
horrible
this burger.
People.
Chris will gargle you until you come so hard that John's mom will hope this whole section is censored.
That is the perfect title for it.
The end.
Oh,